of life. Drink from your mountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast for the Father's supply. Amen. Let us pray. Father, once again, we've come before you, Lord, that you might speak to our hearts. Lord, that you might give us of that living bread, that living fountain. And Lord, that just asking that you would have your way, Lord, through the leadership of the Holy Ghost, that you would not let us speak nothing but that which you once said, Lord. And Lord, that you would open every heart to receive, both speaker and hearer, Lord. That you would give us revelation, Lord, day by day. Lord, as the word comes forth tonight, Lord, that you would open our hearts in all things. Those that are here, those that would listen in from different places, Lord. Lord, we pray for Brother Gomba that you will bless him and strengthen him and guide him. And Lord, give him words. Lord, let every time he comes to the pulpit, Lord, every time he speaks with those brethren there, may you just let him be a fountain, Lord, of truth. To speak forth the promise of this day. Bless him abundantly. Bless the people there. Lord, we just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here, and we appreciate the service on Sunday. We appreciate the message Brother Gomba brought, and happy to get the reports that we've got so far. He's had a safe journey. Had a little bit of problem there starting off. They changed it, but I think it worked out to the better. I think he went straight to London instead of going. I think he got to skip a stop, and I think it actually shortened his trip maybe 2 or 3 hours. So that was good. And so he is in Pakistan. And so what I've seen so far is that he has services tomorrow night, Friday night, and Sunday morning. But I'm assuming that he'll be having services every day. If not formally, with the brethren there, he'll be ministering to them. And so those brothers are really good on their, whatever you call that, when they put everybody on there. They got the interpreter, and they got the pastor, and the co-pastor, and they're all, those brothers are all family. There's like, the interpreters, and they even have some sisters interpreters, their daughters, and the other brothers are sons, and their father's the pastor, and their uncle is another pastor, I think, and then there's a co-pastor, I think, is one of the sons. I haven't got it totally right, but it's just one big family, and all of them are working for the Lord. And so they're all, and Brother Ram said, God, he tends to go that way. He said, you'll watch him get in a family and how that family had just served the Lord. And then it'd be just one here and there. But we just thank God. And so for traveling mercies, and now as he's entering into the services over there, we want to hear a good report when he returns. So now we want to continue on our lesson now. Last week we were trying to get through some quotes that we had, and we just got a little ways into it, and so I'm going to continue on from what we didn't finish last Wednesday night. And so, but I want to go back, and you've got the quotes, but I got one that you don't have, and that is, I decided to go back and pick up one of the quotes from the message of Future Home that we'd read last week in paragraph 266 and 267, I'm sorry, and I'm going to start with that. And just to bring us back to where we were. And, you know, he said a lot of things. He talked about that the believer, there's no spiritual death for the believer. He talked about how that we must recognize the day and the age that we live in. And you think about that. Even for when Brother Gomba was talking about that on Sunday, how to go to people who don't know anything about the message. That's a challenge. It's easier to preach to people that are familiar, because we spend our life in this message. This is what we study. And so sometimes Satan tries to make you feel like, well, you're just way out there. And maybe we are. Compared to the natural, and compared to the nominal, and compared to those things, we are out there. But where we are is in Him.
Amen.
And that's the thing they got to recognize. Noah was an oddball for 120 years.
Yes,
we can't imagine. He preached that same message for 120 years.
Amen.
And the only ones he got was his family. That was it. It was four men and four women. And you realize we have more than that here tonight. We have more than four men and we have more than four women. In the whole world of 120 years of preaching. This message is only about 70 years past. That's all. Just about 70 years past now that since the prophet has went. And so you think, where are we at? What time is it?
Amen.
And so, but it all comes back to one thing, and that's recognizing the day and the hour that you live in.
Yes, sir.
And you got to be willing. And because it's going to be different than what man, it's always different. It's always different than what the churches say. It proved it in Jesus' day. It proved it all the way through the Old Testament. Every prophet that came was rejected. They were put to death. They were sawn asunder. Every kind of rejection that they could have. The whole Bible is rejection.
Amen.
And the whole Bible is this little group of people that God reveals himself to.
Yes, sir.
And they go out and they're an oddball to the whole world. Everybody looks down upon them, looks, casts them out, speaks against them, makes fun of them, many times kills them. And so it's just, that's God's way. That's the pattern. God, Brother Branham called it a pattern. That's God's pattern. And he said the pattern is, it's revealed to one and it's hidden from another one.
Amen.
And so when God lets you look in and see the day and the hour, then you just have to cry out and thank God, what a blessed person that you are, that he chose you to see this revelation, that he chose you to walk in this revelation, to be a part of him in this day. And so it's a great thing. And what's also a horrible thing is when he lets you see it, and then you fail to take a hold to it. When you turn away from it, when you reject it. And so it's a very serious thing. So let me just read this quote here that we ended with last week. Now, look how all kinds of forms those Pharisees had. See, but when the word was made manifest, they didn't recognize. See, if you are the bride, the bride is a part of the husband. And the only place that you'll ever recognize it is recognize what part of that husband,
Amen.
That word, that you are.
Yes, sir.
So the only way that you're going to know God in your day and your age that you're living in is to recognize what part is being made manifest in this hour.
Amen.
And so that's one thing that was brought to us in this last day, and it that revelation had to grow and grow and grow for us to really to get it, to realize, because the idea was what came at Pentecost or what came at any other time, then that's all God's ever going to do. In other words, he revealed himself at Pentecost, he poured out his spirit, and everything forever into the millennium is going to be exactly like that. But what we found out was that it wasn't. And what happened was that came right there, actually, they lost it. They lost so much of it because there was a falling away. And that falling away came by a prophecy by the prophet of that day, the Apostle Paul. And he told him, said, he's not coming back. Nothing's going to happen until first there be a falling away. And that falling away took us right into the dark ages. You got it in school. You got it in history. All of it's right there. It all proves everything that the Bible says.
Amen.
Exactly. Once God unfolded this where we could see what it was, then the history proves it. Science proves it. Everything proves it. And so when they get off on their own ideas, that's what messes it up. See, the only place that you'll ever recognize it is recognize what part of that husband, that word, you are. Because he's the word. He's the word. And that's what's being manifested in every age. From Genesis to Revelation, it's been Elohim materializing. It's been God revealing himself, God making himself known to the people of that day. And it's been coming. Just like anything, when it comes in its infancy, it's getting started. It's coming little by little by little. But then as it grows, just like when you're putting a puzzle together, you got a puzzle, maybe it's 500 pieces or 1,000 pieces, and you start putting that thing together, and you start getting a little picture. And then as you add them pieces in, it just gets better and better. Amen. And then sometimes you think, if you don't have that box there to you see in the picture of it, if you don't have that, then you're wondering what it's going to be. And you keep trying to find them pieces and put them pieces in there, and you get a little more idea of what it is. But you don't get the full picture until that thing really comes together and every piece is put in there. And that's what's happened today. We've come now. Every piece is put in there now. The fullness of the thing's been unfolded. He's unveiled himself so that we can see him in his glory. And so it's not in the infancy anymore. Now it's in the maturity of what he had in his mind. See? So you're recognizing what part you are. You can't recognize being the bride. How many sees that? And the congregation says amen. See? You have to recognize your position. Now, you can't recognize somebody else's. And so that's something we have said a lot. And that's everybody believes Noah's message now. The whole world, every church, everybody. But what good is that going to do them? Nothing. It will do absolutely nothing. Believe in what Moses did will do you absolutely no you good. You can go out and say, I'm a believer, praise God. I believe that Moses opened the Red Sea. That's all fine. But those people that were standing there with him, they struggled with it. They struggled all the way through until only two of them lived. That's right. In Noah's day, only eight of them. They watched him for 120 years building and building and building. And the bigger that thing got and the more closer it got to its maturity, till the more they laughed. And the more they thought, this guy don't give up. You know, we thought 50 years ago he was going to be done. We thought he would give up by then. This guy, he's going to see this thing through. He just keeps right on and on. And what they must have thought when he started taking animals in there. And then when the door closed, they thought, this is amazing. Now he's in there and he can't even get out. And then a day goes by. Pretty soon, they're almost a week. And they are really convincing themselves that he was crazy. And that's what God lets it happen every time. Every time. And now here we're right on, not 7 days, but 70 years. Right on 70 years. And even the people that have been setting in the message, they're beginning to doubt. You know, it should have happened by now. Brother Branham said this, and he said that, and he said this, and he said that. Yeah, but they didn't understand what he said. They didn't understand what he was talking about. And the revelation is when those seals opened up, and we mentioned this last Wednesday, and we're going to hit it tonight. When those seals opened up, it was, as all revelation is, I'm calling it twofold. It's compound. It's a compound revelation. Yeah. It comes in more ways than one. And so there was two things that was happening. There was the seventh church age that was receiving the revelation of the seven seals. They were receiving the letter of that. They were receiving one side of that. Amen. And then there was another side of that that they were not getting. That was only for the bride.
Yes, sir.
So there was two things. And Brother Branham said, one of the mysteries, he said, there is one reason why people misunderstand what God is doing is because it's going to two groups of people. Okay. And usually he's talking about the unbeliever and the and the believer. But he told us there's three kinds of believer. But there was something more complex going on in this day because there was an age that was closing out. And they had received their messenger and they had received the message. And so they were believing that seventh angel messenger. And so he brought his part for that group of people. But then that age came to a close. And then Christ comes on the scene. And so not like they thought he was going to come, because, and that's the problem. Every time he does something, now Satan thinks and makes the people think, we got it figured out now. We'll definitely recognize him next time. See, that's what he thought 2,000 years ago. Yes, Brother Adam said that he thought it was the Christ, but he wasn't positive. See, he wasn't positive. Judas thought he was the Christ, but he wasn't positive because he didn't have the revelation. He had a good idea. He's seen miracles. He's seen all kinds of supernatural, seen all those things. And he thought, this must be him. But then surely he wouldn't come this humble. Surely he wouldn't have done this or he wouldn't have done that. See, surely he wouldn't have let them take him and kill him. Not if he was God. Well, see, they don't have the mind of Christ. They couldn't understand that. That's what he came for. That's exactly what he came for, was to die. That's the reason that veil of flesh that he was in was capable of dying. Because that was God's purpose. And so so now today, they're looking for him in that flesh that he came in 2,000 years ago. But what we must recognize is that God that was in that flesh that died. That's what we must do. That's what they failed to do, was recognize the God that was with Moses and the God that was with Noah. He was right there in that body of flesh of Jesus Christ. And they seen that flesh and they couldn't believe him. But he told them, he said, if you can't believe me, if you can't look at this man, look at the works. Look at what God is doing. It's not me. And he told them, I'm not doing this. It's God doing it. Look what God is doing. And that's what you have to do today. Look what God is doing. And see if you can recognize God.
Yes, sir.
He was right there. All of this supernatural we have, all of the things that's been done in this day, if you just go back and read those early messages and see the supernatural, constantly, tens of thousands of times, the discernment and the things that was done. And the things that speaking to the storm and creation of squirrels, the different thing, it's too simple. If you do something great, magnificent out here, and the whole world would see it at one time, or the whole nation would see it, sure. Huh? God don't work like that. Read your Bible. He don't do it like that because he's hiding it. That's his whole purpose. He's hiding it and revealing it to that little group that that is a part of him, that he put that seed in before the foundation of the world. Now watch this. This is a marriage and divorce, paragraph 256. Now he can put her away, but she cannot put him away. He did it. He has proved it. Is that right? He's proved it. He not only proved it, he's going to go to Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost in this seven church ages, but he did it in the Old Testament. He was doing it there, in those kings and those different ones, when the natural woman rejected him, when the natural woman rejected the husband, and he just got him another one. God is sovereign. God can do whatever he wants to, anytime he wants to. And that's the way that his wife is going to serve him and treat him and obey him, because she knows. She can't put him away. The world today has perverted that, and so people think, oh yeah, I don't have to put up with this. I can go here, I can go there. No, you can't.
Right.
Not spiritually, you can't.
Amen.
And so in the natural, there's a lot of rules there too. So I don't want to go to that, but it's there. So watch. See, he did it. Has proved it. In the days when Luther and Wesley and Pentecost, when they refused to become the further part of him.
Amen.
When they refused to be the further part of him. Now, who is he?
Jesus.
He's the Word. He just told us that. He's the Word. And so the body, it's a Word body that He has been building. And it's His body. And so it's the Word coming in every age, and the Word is revealing Him. And so every age, that body was coming up like the puzzle, the pieces are being put in, and it's coming up, it comes up to the feet, and the legs coming up. It's building a body. And what you are seeing is not this group of people, but what you are seeing is Him.
Amen.
You're seeing Him in this group of people.
That's right.
And this is the physical body that He's living in, but there's a spiritual body. And the spiritual body is the Word that's in you.
Amen.
It's the life that's living in you. That's Him. That's Him. And it's been building and building, and now it's coming to manifestation, the maturity of it, see? So, when they refuse to become the further part of Him by having spiritual sexual affair, to become pregnated with the further part of the Word.
Amen.
So, If you're in the mindset that on the day of Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost come, the Spirit was poured out upon the people, and you do this and this and this. You repent, you be baptized, and you do foot washing and the communion. You do these different things, which are right there in the Bible. Sure, they're there. Okay. Now, if your idea is that that's what it's going to always be, okay, then God can't do anything else.
That's right.
And people want God to do something, but he said, in vain do you worship me.
Yes, sir.
But the man said, they hinder the people, their faith, their belief in God by their traditions. They make these traditions, and that God can only do this and this and this. He only can do that. And when He comes, you're going to see Him with these nail-scarred hands. No, that's not how you're going to see Him. How you're going to see Him is this Word is going to be manifested.
Yes, sir.
He's going to be hiding in veils of flesh.
Yes, sir.
That's how He's going to do it. And that's how He's always done it. He's always been in veils of flesh. From Genesis to Revelation. He's right there in Genesis, right there in the garden. There was two boys. One of them had a revelation. One of them didn't have a revelation. One of them was the Son of God. One of them wasn't the Son of God. And both of them had the desire to worship. You see that they're right there. Is the pattern. That's the pattern. Because it's in every person. God put it in every person to worship something.
Amen.
You're going to worship. You say, oh, I don't. I'm an unbeliever. I don't. You do worship something. You'll worship your money. You'll worship your wife. You'll worship your car. Whatever it is that's precious to you, that's your idol.
Yep.
And that's what you worship. And so in the churches, they worship their church. They worship their church's idea. And so they can even in the Catholic Church, they can worship the priest, or they can worship the Pope, or they can worship a man. All of that's contrary to the Bible. And what to show you the power of Satan, because it always marvels me to see the blindness. But how can a church, the Catholic Church, put 368 million Christians to death during the Dark Ages and then still be lifted up and the Pope reverenced and worshiped by the people today? How could it survive that?
Huh?
That's the power of Satan.
Yes.
That's the power of Satan. How could Cain, God tell him directly, just do what your brother done? Huh?
Yes.
The power of Satan would not let Cain do it.
Nope.
Would not do it, no. But there was something in Abel, he couldn't do anything else.
Amen.
And so that's the difference. There's something in you that won't let you do anything else,
that's right,
but believe this Word.
Yes, sir.
Because God put something in you,
amen,
that can only believe this revelation.
Yes.
That's all. See? So, they refuse to the furtherance. God don't stop. God don't get done. God don't get tired. God don't go on vacation.
Amen.
God continually is unfolding Himself and revealing Himself.
Amen.
So there is a spiritual sexual affair to the bride being pregnated with the part of the Word for this day.
Yes.
Not another day, see? Now,
When they refuse to be the further part of Him, they refuse to be the further part of the revelation, they refuse to be the further part of the manifestation of Him. And that's what He's doing to the bride. He's constantly bringing her into the further part. He don't go back. He don't take her back. He's bringing her further. He's bringing her higher. And from the time that you were born again, if you are not coming higher in the revelation, you're going backwards. Amen. There's something wrong with your experience. Yeah. There's something wrong. It don't matter what a good person you are, or how much work you do, or how much you give, or all of the things that you can do. If you're not coming up higher in the revelation, then there's something wrong. Because that's the number one thing He's called you to. Because He is the Word, and He's revealing Himself the Word. Amen. So if He's revealing Himself, then you've got to be coming up. And it's not just some mysteries. It's not just knowing you have this list and you're checking them off. You know, I got this one, I got this one, I got... No, that's not it. It's the life. Amen. It's the life of Christ in you. That thing is getting more real and more real and more real. And as that thing is getting more real, He's revealing Himself to you. He's revealing the person of Jesus Christ to you. The person of Jesus Christ. So that's more than just mysteries. And I love the mysteries. That's what I prefer to preach on than anything. But the only thing that's going to help a person is the life. Amen. If that life has got to be in there. Yes. And if it's not in there, then there's trouble. That's right. So it's got to be the further part of the revelation. Now, you have to be pregnated. You have to be pregnated with the Word. And if you are, you will reproduce the Word. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's right. Yes, see? And so this pregnation is the Word in you. That's what it is. Now, I want you to think about that, because you sometimes it comes to the idea that now you're doing this, or He's coming and He's doing that. But I want to ask you, when was you pregnated? When was you pregnated? Brother, sister, this seed was put in you before the foundation of the world. And the thing that has to happen is it has to be birthed. The seed has to be birthed. Amen. So that is the new birth. And so the thing that's happening is that seed in you has to be quickened. Amen. And when it's quickened, that is the new birth. Yes, sir. That's it. And when that seed in you comes to manifestation, it is manifesting the word of the age. Amen. It's not manifesting another word of another age or some other time. It can't do it. It can only bring the manifestation, the revelation of this day. I want you to think about that. Because whatever revelation that Luther had, that was what was in him. And that which was in him was quickened. And it quickened to manifest that age. And what was in John Wesley, it was quickened to manifest that age. And what is in you today is quickened to manifest this day and this age that we live in. Amen. You're not coming with something else. Right. You are Jesus Christ, the Word today. Yes, not back there. Amen. Whatever was back there, that's all fine and wonderful. That was Him in that day. But that's not Him today. Amen. No. Him today is this message live, living in you. Amen. So the pregnation brings the new birth. The quickening power brings the new birth. And that seed was put in there before the foundation of the world. And that's what you manifest. That's all that you can be. You can't be nothing else, see? Because you were pregnated with the word of this age. I want you to get that. I want you to hold that. So you can't be nothing else. Just this part of the body. As we talked about it, how it come through Pentecost, come through the tongues. Then he comes to the eyes. This is the seeing age. Then he said there was nothing above that but the intelligence. And so that's where we're at. And the intelligence is he himself. And that's why this is the greatest of all time. This is the maturity of the whole thing. And so you watch a child come up, and you can marvel. You can listen to them. I always marvel when they're getting started and they're learning to, they start going to school and they start, they talk to you at home and they can say some words. They go to school now and they're teaching them how to sound words out, which I was never good at it. And I always had a problem with that. But then you watch a child sit there and start sounding out those words. Mm-hmm. They've learned the rules. And so then they're learning how to say it. And then you watch them as they're learning how to add and subtract and multiply and divide. And just you're watching them in their infancy. And you're marveling when they get something, they get something, they get something. But then when they go off to college, they're in another, they're not nothing like this. They're nothing like this. By the time it got to the seventh church age, there was things going on that nobody knew. They didn't, it just began to open and open and open. But there was something even greater than that. There was something greater. And so he was working, see? So watch. Now, you got to be pregnant with the words of this age. You understand. And she refused. Huh? Those churches, they refused. He revealed himself. They manifested the word, the seed of their age. They manifested that. And then he wanted to go deeper, but they denominated. They denominated around what had come. And so when they did that, now they're refusing him. They're refusing that spiritual relationship, the furtherance of the word. They're refusing that now for it to come into a deeper thing. Of course, we know it wasn't for that age. So, but as it's coming into the next age, he had another group of people. He had another group of people that had that seed in them. And that when that seed was quickened, they went from Luther to John Wesley. That's what they did. Because that's what was in them. And now that seed in them is quickened to life. And it begins to manifest. Amen. It begins to manifest the promise of the day. And when it comes right up to Pentecost now, John Wesley's age was dying out. And they were starting their denominations. They were starting all of those things. And God raised up another group. And now there's another group now. And as that seed in them is being quickened, they're now believing and speaking in tongues. They're believing the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're believing now not in a trinity of gods that the Catholic Church started in 325 AD, but now they're gone back to Pentecost and they're believing in one God, and that his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that where God hid it in the Bible, in Matthew 28:19, telling them to baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then he told Peter that on the day of Pentecost to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hid it. Yes. He hid it again. Mm-hmm. He hid it over and over and over. He hid it again. Amen. He did the same thing. We're going to get to it in a minute. He did the same thing today when those seals opened up. He just hid it right there in front of their eyes where they couldn't see it. See, you understand. See, she refused. The Lutheran Church refused for Christ to have any more desire with her. See, that's what's happened in the spirit. That's what's wrong in the natural even. That's why the divorce rates today are higher than they've ever been. You look at them because it's in the flesh. It's in the flesh. They come together. They're on fire. They love each other. And just everything's just lovely. And then after a while, the fire burns down. And then the trials come and the troubles come and the hard times come. That's the same thing happened in the churches. Same thing happened in the church. Same thing happens in the natural. And then you find one day they don't get their way and they're gone. They disagree, they're gone. This happens, that happens, they're gone. See? Look at it in the churches. That's where the real thing is. Amen. There's more churches today that have started because they disagreed what the preacher said. Mm-hmm. You think about it. You go into a church and ask, and you watch. I've seen churches split 3, 4, 5 times. They'll disagree, split. Then they'll go off to the disagree, split again. And I know the devil's saying, well, you used to go somewhere too. And now here you are. It wasn't my desire.
Amen.
It wasn't my desire to do that.
Right.
I didn't leave because I wanted to do that. There's a difference.
Yep.
There's a difference.
Amen.
Luther refused it. Let me say this. You're going to call me something anyhow? So is it today with every one of them. They fail to take the word. They refuse Christ.
Yes, sir.
When you fail the word, you fail Christ. When you refuse the word, you have refused Christ.
Amen.
Remember, he is the word. And any woman that refuses a man, his child, has no right to be a wife to him. Amen. Now, you remember in the Bible when the king married Esther because the queen refused, he just got him another one. What happened when she refused to come out with the king and obey him? The same thing it is with the woman that refuses to be a wife to her husband. And what's he after? He's after the spiritual. He's after the spiritual there. When we refuse to go into the furtherance of the revelation, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to reveal himself in us. And if we're not willing to let him, let this message live in us, then he can't reveal himself.
Amen.
Then we're stifling that. We must be open to the furtherance of he himself.
Right.
Always. Always. Brother Branham said, God will enfold himself throughout eternity.
Yes, sir.
So that means he's not going to stop here. And people who got to the place and have now, I know for 15 years, that they're like, it's all been said. Well, then the prophet lied. You think it's all been said? It's all been revealed? I don't think so. If God can reveal himself throughout eternity,
Amen.
The problem is you're basing those thoughts, you're basing it on one person.
Yep.
And God, as much as we have confidence in one another, as much as we can lift one another up and we can appreciate one another and we can have elders among us that God uses in mighty ways. When we put it all on that person, then we are limiting God.
Yes, sir.
Because God can use anybody he wants to, anytime he wants to.
Amen.
And if I come and try to tell you he's gonna speak through me, I'm the pastor, it's gotta come through me. That's where I go down. And if you believe it, that's where you go down.
That's right.
Right there.
Amen.
That's where you begin to limit God.
Yep.
God is sovereign. God reveals himself to whom he will, through whom he will, however he will. He is a sovereign God, and he does whatever he wants to, and he does it whenever he wants to.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I had this, and I was sitting back here, and I picked up Michael's Bible, and I was looking. I wanted to read the seventh seal again, and Brother Michael's Bible is just like mine. It's all marked up. Got all kinds of marks and highlights in there and everything. And so I was skimming through. God just has a way sometime So I'm reading this quote here in Marriage and Divorce. And I'm thumbing through his Bible and I pass over 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Just happens to be the chapter where Paul was telling him it's a shame for a man to pray with his head covered. And it's a shame for a woman to pray with her head uncovered. And so he goes into that, and I throw a couple of scriptures in here, and I'm going to read them just because we know he's talking in the spiritual, but it's in the natural. It's in the natural, okay? So verse 8, he said, the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. And we know by the natural, the carnal mind today is that no, every man is born of a woman. That's a true statement. But that's not what this is talking about. God is talking about creation. He's talking about that woman is of the man. She was taken out of the man. That's what it's talking about. And so it's not talking about the natural side or the sexual side or anything else. See? So, and verse 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. She was created for the man. So now put it in the spiritual. What was you created for?
Amen.
God wasn't out there just for you. You were made for him.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You're here for him. You are here to serve his purpose.
Amen.
Whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. That's what you're here for.
Yes, sir.
That's your duty to God. That's a wife's duty to her husband. She was made for that man. So the natural gets it messed up. The natural always gets it messed up. They always come in with their ideas. That's what's wrong, always been what's wrong. That's what happened with Cain, and he brought his idea. Okay? His intentions was good. People's intentions are good. People are sincere. They come, they want to worship God. I hear unbelievers sometimes testifying. I would say unbelievers, nominal believers. They claim to believe. They don't believe the revelation of the day, but they are Christians. I just say nominal Christians for the sake of not knowing how else to say it. And so they have a testimony. They can tell you what God has done for them and how they believe God and how they serve God and how they love God and all of those things. And all of that is happy and wonderful until you bring them to the revelation. And then you find out where their testimony goes. Okay? God has brought them that far. But now are they willing to come into the furtherance? Now God has put somebody somewhere to testify.
Amen.
That was making me think of, we were talking the other day, when I mentioned the other day about, I used to have this thing with Satan that I would never write his name, write Satan. I'd never capitalize his name. It was just a little thing I had. And I just, but now it's hard because, and I don't do it now, but now the autocorrect always capitalizes Satan, but it don't always capitalize God. Check it. I checked it. And so I was surprised. I thought, you know, this is going to be embarrassing even saying this. But two brothers came to me and said the same thing. They said, me too. Brother Goomba said that and Brother Michael said that. And I was like, well, praise God. I'm not such an oddball after all. And so Brother Michael, he was telling me, so at work, you know, they respect him at Christmas time and their holidays, some of the holidays. And, you know, he tries to respect them too. But when he writes a letter, when they write among each other, for their Christmas party or their Christmas this or the Christmas that, he said he would never capitalize the C on Christmas and said it bothered some of them terrible. Said one woman come to him and said, you're taking Christ out of Christmas. And, you know, he's thinking he's not in it. He's not in it. So, but anyways, it's just there. It's just there. I forgot where I was going with all that, but we'll get it back in a minute. It'll come back around. So, all right. But in the natural, all right, we was talking about that. And so she's taken from the man, was created for the man. All right, I pulled another scripture, two more scriptures here. One was verse 12. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. So there's your other side. There's your other side. See? But all things of God. And another thing that I really liked about this, because I've talked many times about how in Christ there's neither male nor female, and in Christ we're all one. And so that's what changes it. And so that's the reason why in the believers, in Christ, in the bride, then the man is still the head of the family, but the man loves his wife as Christ loved the church and will give himself. Will give himself. You watch. You can watch in people's marriages when the man is thinking that okay, I'm the head, I'm the boss. You're going to do this. You're going to do that, and then he doesn't have the respect. He starts showing the marriage starts showing a lack of respect for one another. And when it comes to that, then the love dies. And so you find with Christ is he only has one intention, and that is bringing you up. That's his intention. And so when you live your life for that, you want to take care of your family, you want to respect your family, your wife, you want all of that, then you start finding yourself like Christ. And so outside of that, it's not going to be. And that's how it is in the church. That's how it has to be in the church. It has to be that relationship that you are surrendered to him, and that his purpose is all things will work together for you, good for you, because he loves you. All things are going to work together because everything he's doing is for you. You think about it.
Amen.
You think about it. Everything he's doing is for you. I was reading this woman's testimony one time, and I'm not trying to make it one way or the other, but it was this woman. She was talking about her husband, and he was trying to, she was thinking, he's got to do this, and he's got to do this, and he's got to do that. And if he loved me, he would tell me this every day. He'd do this every day. He would do that. He would do this. And so finally one day she woke up and she said, you know what? He gets up every day and he goes to work. And every day he comes home from work. He don't go to the bar. He don't go to his buddy's house. He don't go. Every day he does his job. He makes his money. He brings all of his money home. It's for home. It's for the family. That's his purpose. She said, he's doing that for me. He's doing that for our family. And it was like a realization. And when we can realize that all that God is doing,
amen,
it's for us.
Yes, sir.
He's doing it for us. He's working everything around to bring to pass in your life the promise of the age. Everything.
Yes.
He's doing it.
That's
right. Watch. Last scripture. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. And this is where a lot of people, they spend too much time on this. That they're the image of God. The problem is they get so hung up on that until they think they have no wrong. They think that whatever they do is right. They think they can lie. They think they can cheat. They think they can steal. They can do anything they want because they're in the image of God. And they're God's gift. When you come with that attitude, it shows what's in here.
That's right. Yes,
shows what's in here. See? But the woman is the glory of the man.
Yes, sir.
Whatever that wife is,
amen,
that's the glory of that man. That's right. You think about that one for a long time. You can spend some time on that. Paragraph 258. Now, I don't know what's happening here. I thought I was sure we were going to get done early tonight. That I just, this little bit I had left here. So watch. Now we're getting to it. That was just a kind of something extra there that was in here. So is it with the church that refuses to become pregnated in the age that we now live in. See, to bring forth children of this age. We're not Lutherans, and we're not Wesleys, neither are we Pentecostals. We got to be children of this age through the pregnancy of the Word of God to bring forth a child of this age, the seed child.
Amen.
Now, God put that seed in there, and that seed, it's the Word, and it must manifest this age. He never put a seed in there and then it produce for another age. God don't make any mistakes.
Amen.
And so when you find the person doing that, they're deceived. They're deceived. They're taking their idea. So when did God predestinate you? When did God save you? When did God do all of these things in you? And Brother Goomba, really, he nailed some things. If you were listening on Sunday, I'm sure you were. He really nailed some things down. God is sovereign. God is the one doing this thing.
Yes, sir.
God is the one.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep going back to this, and it seems like it aggravates some people, but I'm on predestination. Predestination and sovereignty, I just got them all tangled up. I got them so wrapped tight, so tight, yes, that they're just one and the same thing. And so Brother Branham makes statements. He said, now, God didn't choose this one and not choose that one. You know, he didn't do this. He said, now predestination, he said, that's a bad word. He said, that's a bad word to use in a mixed audience. In a mixed audience. But when you come down just to the elect,
yes,
you can use that word and it not cause any feelings.
Yes,
you can use that word and people can get what you're saying.
Amen.
And so you say, well, brother, if he said he didn't just choose this one and not choose that one, but he knew who. He knew who was going to accept it and who wasn't going to accept it. Well, that's all fine. Until he says, you can't come unless he draws you. Okay? You can't come unless that seed's in there. And then the woman at the well, a prostitute, found herself with the seed. And a priest who knew the word, there was nothing in there to quicken.
That's right.
So you gotta take both sides of that thing, or else you are gonna come with the idea that if you take free moral agency and you just take it straight like that, that you make the choice, then you are the master of your destiny. And I told a brother that one time. I said, brother, you are not the master of your destiny. You are not. God is the master of your destiny.
Amen.
And yes, you are on free moral agency. Yes, you are. That's why you can make a lot of mistakes. You can make do a lot of things wrong. But you have free will. But there's a seed down in there that is keeping you. There's a seed down in there that there's no spiritual death.
Amen. Yes.
There's no spiritual death to that seed down in there.
That's right.
And so that seed is the thing that makes you different than everyone else that comes face to face with the Word of God, with the Word of the age. That's the difference. So you can't be nothing else except what God put in there.
That's right.
Every seed will bring forth of its kind. And so when the Spirit of God comes out over the earth and it goes around and it begins quickening that seed in there, and Peter said, being born again of incorruptible seed. Not corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed.
Amen.
There's a lot of people born again, but the wrong seed is being quickened.
Yeah.
And so they get a nominal spirit. They get a church's idea. They get a Catholic idea. They're born. Their life changes.
Yeah.
You can't say they don't. There's people that were drunkards and womanizers and all these other things. And all of a sudden their life's turned around. And they're going to church. And they have lead a good moral life.
That's right.
You can't argue with that.
Yep.
And you can only say God has done something for you.
Yeah.
But if you introduce them to the revelation of Jesus Christ in the age,
yeah,
that they're living in, and they reject that,
yeah,
then there's something wrong.
That's right.
There could have been people that, you know, in Jesus' day, those Pharisees and Sadducees, they traveled. They did have missionary work. There was a lot of them that they had this idea, we're the only ones and we don't care about nobody else. All the rest of you, we're God's chosen people, the rest of you are lost. But there was a fraction of them that traveled and brought the revelation, the message of the Jews to other nations. Because Jesus identified them and he said, you go out and you get them, you proselyte them, you bring them in from other religions, and he said, you make them a twofold more child of hell,
that's right,
than what they already were. What you brought them out of them, you made them worse.
Yeah.
You just made a hypocrite out of them.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So they were converting. They were converting people from other places. And we even know in at the day of Pentecost, the eunuch there was from another country. Is that right?
That's right.
He came down to Jerusalem for Pentecost, for this feast. There was people in other nations come. They came. So it was working on them in different ways. But they weren't all seed. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes. They're not all seed. Everybody who starts going to church is not seed. Wow. No. You must be born by the word of this day. And outside of that, you're not there. Amen. I hope you understand. Couldn't be pregnated. No. So what did he do? He put her away in divorcement. That's right. But she daresome put him away. He put her away. He went right on revealing his word to the body. And vindicating him. That's what's happening. Amen. He's revealing himself and he's vindicating his presence. He's vindicating the promise. See? Same by himself. See? His children began to look more like him. Praise God. Amen. Why? Because it's maturing. That's where we're at.
Amen.
We thought that was it back there. That wasn't it. No, the reality's striking now. Now it's really beginning to look like him. Now that he has unfolded himself, now that he's unveiled himself. See, because it's fully maturing, or they become children of the word. Not children of the church, see, children of the word. And the bride will be a lovely little lady of the word, unadulterated, not touched by any man's organization, any man-made theory. She'll be purely unadulterated bride of the word. Oh, my, praise God. Is he driving that home? Is he making that clear? That's all. That's all that will work. In Luther's day, that's all that would work. In Wesley's day, that's all that would work. In Pentecost, there was only one way. It was the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and God poured out the gifts. The gifts were returned back to the church. They had been lost. According to prophecy, they had been lost. But now they were back in there, and it was just everywhere. If you go back in the early 1900s, it was everywhere. The people were led of the Spirit. The people were able to just, they were praying and they were finding themselves, God saying, go do this, go do that. You don't hear much of that nowadays. You don't hardly hear none of that. But you go back and read during Pentecost, that was everywhere. And it was happening to people constantly. And I've even talked to people in the church that I've fellowshipped in. And they remember those. They were older than me, and they remember those days. And even themselves. I can remember one brother come one time, and he was kind of complaining. And he's saying, brother, he said, I can remember times when, he said, I'd be at work, and God would bring somebody on my heart there at a place, not a believer, not just somebody. And said, God would just lay it on his heart and said, go give them $20. And said he'd go out through the plant there where he worked at till he found that person. And he said, I can't explain this. He said, but God put it on my heart. And he said, God told me to give you this. And the man just started crying. And he said, and he started testifying how that the need that he had. And you it used to be so common. Yes, and now we're so busy. We're so caught up. We don't, Brother Bam said, we pray and we're gone.
Right. Yeah.
He said, we say what we want. We're telling God, I want this and I want this, but we're not listening. We're not waiting for the answer. We're not waiting for, I got something for you to do. I want to send you somewhere. I want you to do something. We don't wait on it. See, because it's fully maturing. That's right. The bride will be a lovely little lady of the word. She'll be purely unadulterated bride of the word. Amen, amen. I hope you get that on the air. She'll be the pregnated daughter of God. Every age, every generation, every dispensation from Genesis to Revelation, he has been revealing himself. He has been manifesting himself. That's right. See? And it has to be the seed of the age. Then it was in its infancy, and now it's in its maturity. See? And he said, it's looking more like him. Looking more like him now. So, now, I'm right back where I was last week because I don't want to keep going here and then cut in the middle of this. Let me just take a moment here to look at this.
Yeah, that can really take a while. All right, let's do this. I have a quote here. Brother, let's drop down to, I'm just going to take a couple more minutes. I'd really like to just take about 30 more minutes. I know some of you are working. I'm gonna start hitting you harder on Sunday because I'm going easy on you on Wednesday. Okay. Let's go to "And Knoweth It Not." Let's do that. And I'm gonna say this a Sunday morning, and I don't want to break that, and that could take me 30 minutes or more, and so I'm not gonna do that to you, but I'm not gonna just quit either. "And Knoweth It Not," paragraph 116. "There is nothing can make it run but Him." That's what Brother Goomba was saying Sunday. There's nothing. We can't make it happen. We can't do it. We're not doing it. He's doing it. Okay? And I hope I'm not taking you away from that. You don't have to put any initiative into this. You do. You do. But it's God in you. Brother Branham said it's God motivating you. It's God. But if you're waiting to get this audible voice to go witness or somebody or go do this or go do that, then you're not going to do nothing. You're gonna have something press in your heart that is leading you to do or say what He wants you to do. And when you push it off and say it's got to be this or it's got to be that, no, He's sovereign. He's gonna do it His way. You have got to listen. You have got to be willing. You have got to be surrendered. See, there's nothing can make it run but Him. Whether it's God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, whether it's the angels, principalities, powers, dominions, whatever it is, all things run by Him. All things run by Him. And where is He? He's in you. He's in you. The Word's in you. The Spirit is in you. So it's moving you. It's not just making you lay on the couch. It's moving you. All things consist by Him. He's the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead? That is, raise up what He come to redeem. See? Remember what He was saying the other day? That we preach it like it's for everybody. Brother Ed said, we preach salvation like it's for everybody, and we know it's not. We preach healing like it's for everybody. And we know it's not. Amen. It's for those that have faith to believe it. That's it. See? That in all things He might have the preeminence. That in all things He, the sovereign God, might have preeminence. That means a full surrender. See? My 117, might have preeminence. You know what it means. See, that's over all. He's over all things that was ever created. Every angel, every being, everything that there is, He's over all things. See? What creature is this? Who can it be? Over all things. Having made peace, see? For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. All the fullness of all things. All the fullness of God. All the fullness of angels, all the fullness of time, all the fullness of eternity, everything dwelt in Him. Amen. That's this fella. That's who we're talking about. Yeah. This sovereign God who is in control of everything, who is doing everything. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in the earth, are things in the heaven, there is that great being we're talking about, the beginning of the creation of God. That's the one. He's the one in charge of it all. He's the one doing it all. He's the one making it all happen. That's right. Praise God.
Okay, that was only took 3 minutes. Now this is going to take four, and we're going to be done, okay? All right. As the eagle stirreth her nest, I just love this. And I had all these quotes I'm reading now. I had them Wednesday, a week ago. And I just couldn't get to them, and I wanted them. See, now the chicken knows not what the eagle's talking about. Think about it. A chicken has no clue what an eagle is saying. No clue. But when an eagle speaks, it puts fear in the chicken. It puts fear. See? But the mother eagle is certainly decided because she's a real mother. You listen to that wording. She's certainly decided. She knows. She's matter of fact. She knows exactly what she's going to do. She knows when she's going to do it. She knows how she's going to do it when she's raising these little eagles. See? So she watches them until they fully feather out. Are you listening? Not when they're not mature, but once they mature, once they've fully feathered out, they've got all the feathers that they're supposed to have, she's watching them. She's waiting for this moment. She's been feeding them. She's been raising them. She's been protecting them, taking care of them. And she's waiting for them to feather out, to mature. That's what God's been doing. He's been waiting for this day. He's been waiting for this time. See? So, she decides that her babies will not walk like chickens. Huh? Oh, no. You're not going to walk like a chicken. God's not going to have it. He's not going to have it. No. She watches over them. See? So one day, she decides it's time to change the position.
Yes, sir.
What position? Their position.
Yep.
She decides it's time to change their position. Now, they've been having a good time. They've just been enjoying the nest. And you know, she's got that thing all padded out. She's got all kinds of feathers and all kinds of other soft stuff. Protecting them from those briars and thorns and sticks and all that's in there. She's got this a real cozy place. And so now there's coming a time she's going to change the position. See? I'm so glad that God don't keep us stale.
Amen.
He's got something new all the time.
Yes, sir.
You're listening?
Amen.
Something new all the time. Something new in every age.
Amen.
Constantly God is bringing something new. Praise be to God. Just one blessing after another. I heard a famous poet as I sung his song when we used to sing it down in Old Kentucky Baptist Church. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Standing my first time by the sides of any large body of water, was out there on Lakeshore Drive about 25 years ago and watched those great waves come in. That's in New York, is that not? Lakeshore Drive? Or Chicago. It's one or the other. It's on the water. And that was the first time he had seen a large body of water. He was raised in the middle of the U.S. He wasn't by the coast. He didn't see that. And I don't know about Kenya, but here, when you go to the coast, in Kenya, to me, it's a little bit more gentle. But the waves are coming in, going out, coming in, going out. But here, it's more vigorous. It's more, it can get really rough. It can get really rough, and it can be really dangerous. But it's just, and I can't pronounce the words. What's that, the word? Mesmerizing?
Starts with.
Yeah. It just, especially the first time you see it. The first time you see it. When you walk up to the water's edge, and you don't just walk out in it, because there's some type of fear, some respect that when you get to the ocean for the first time and you're standing there and you don't have any shoes on, and every time a wave comes in and goes out, you feel the ground going out from under your feet. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Something's happening. And you see it come crashing in, and then you see it go out. You see it come crashing in, you see it go out. And there's just something about it. And so he was a grown-up before he ever seen this. And a lot of people, I can remember some of the children, their first time to ever see it. And they were just in amazement of God's great creation. So that's what he's talking about here. And he said, you watch those great waves come in and just come in and go out, come in and go out. That's the way I think, what I think the prophet had or the poet had when he wrote, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Roll in and roll out, roll in and roll out. Constantly blessing. And God constantly revealing himself. God constantly bringing something new. Over and over and over. That's right. 16. And that mother eagle was going to change the church, her children. Huh? She's going to change them. So that prophet here in speaking, he was talking, of course, principally about Jacob. How there was no other God before him. He knew no other God. But he said, as the eagle stirreth her nest. See? Her nest. Not another nest. As the eagle stirs her nest, where her babies are at. See? It is a time that when the eagle thinks that her little ones has matured enough, she's got to stir the nest. Stir her nest, see? God does the same thing in his church. When we have got all settled down in something, then God stirs the nest again. He brought Martin Luther from Catholicism. They got so starchy, he stirred the nest. He sent Wesley in. See? Then Wesley got so starchy, he stirred the nest and sent the Pentecostals. And it's nest stirring time again. Because we've got all settled down. That's what's wrong with the churches. Everybody just settling down. Nothing to do. Nothing. God stirs the nest. Praise God. This old mother eagle flies in the nest one day. All unexpected. Huh? Did this revelation come unexpected? Did this prophet come unexpected? Did this great day and age come unexpected? Did them seals open up unexpected? Did them seven thunders speak forth unexpectedly? Absolutely they did. We weren't expecting it. But God stirred the nest. He'd done something. He'd come on the scene to reveal himself. See? That old mother eagle flies into the nest one day. Unexpected little eaglets. As she comes in, how I've laid and watched them and weep like a baby. With my binoculars trained on them, my horse tied off somewhere, watching them. She'll fly into the nest. She'll take those great wings. She'll give them a great shower of wind. It shakes every loose feather out of them. Because she's fixing to give them their first solo flight. Huh? Not only that, but she blows all of that padding out of the nest. And so now it's rougher. And they want to get out. Now they're getting stuck up. Now the trials come. Now the hard times come. You ever get them? Yes. God wants to move you.
Yes, sir.
God's doing something. God's revealing something. God wants to do something new.
Amen.
And he wants you motivated. See, she's fixing to give them their first solo flight. And you can't have loose feathers when you're solo flying for the Lord. She flies in and they have a mighty rushing wind. They never felt it before. Huh? Because they were born in the cleft of a rock. Why? They're eagles. But God changes it. He gives them something new.
Amen.
Praise be to God. He gives them something new. He's constantly revealing. He's constantly opening our hearts, our understanding. He's constantly giving us revelation. This message that people have tried to say it's all revealed, it's all out. No. God is showing us it's not. God is showing us that he's still revealing himself.
Yes.
God is bringing things. You might have read something 100 times. And somehow, God is able to let you see something laying there
yep.
that you never recognized it before. That's God. Only God can do that. And he's sovereign. And he can leave it lay there. And then, until when you see it, you feel ashamed. You feel like, how in the world did I not see that? How in the world? Or somebody will come along who hasn't been in the message as long as you. That's really good for old preachers.
Yeah.
That's really good. Keep our humility where it should be. Somebody will come along, hadn't been around too long, and say something, and you say, I never thought of it. Yeah. Because it's not here. It's here. It's here. It's him. It's him that's doing this thing.
Yes.
And that's what we thank God. Praise be to his lovely name. Amen. We love you so much. Sorry about that. 4 minutes was maybe eight. Amen. As the eagle stirreth her nest.
Amen.
You can't be no loose feathers now. No, because we are the ones to fly.
Amen.
We've come to maturity. All the loose feathers are being blown out. And it's time for that manifestation of Jesus Christ in you.
Amen.
In you. That's right. So we just think, well, I'm going to ask Brother Michael to come around and just sing a chorus or something. I want you to stand with us now. Just want you to go home humming something. And so we love you. We appreciate you. Now, I know you will, but I just want to say it anyways. You, every day, you be praying for Brother Goomba. Every day, you remember him because he's on the mission field. You know, that place where he's at is right there where they were fighting, right there where the conflict was. And so God is able to protect him and keep him. But Satan would love to cause a problem. And so we believe God is going to have his hand upon him and that the angels are encamped around about him.
Amen.
And they'll keep him through all things. Amen. And we're gonna put it before the Father every day.
Yes.
Every day. Amen. Right?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Come, brother.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that.
Amen.
And I was thinking, and he asked for four. I'm going to take two more while I prepare this song. We're going to sing that song that he just referenced there, Floods of Joy. Since Jesus came into my heart. But, you know, I was wondering, you know, why, you know, you think about, you know, the eagle, the mother eagle, when she's building that nest, she specifically goes, gets those thorns and those rough sticks, and she starts. I always wondered why. And, you know, it just clicked for me today, or just now. Like, well, why would she not just pick all the soft stuff and, you know, just build the nest off of? Because she knows there's a time when she can't do all the flying and the hunting for them. It's time for them to go. And I like soft places too. And I know, like he said, that God comes in and he's motivating you, so he'll give you something. And when he gives you that trial, he's going to work it for you. But in doing that, you're going to learn his greatness,
right.
His mercy. You're going to learn whatever lesson he wants you to learn there. It just hit me. I was like, well, why would, you know, if I was building a nest, I would make it all nice and soft and, you know, all that. And then when I need to move, nobody would move. So God knows. I think we have it here. Do you know that song? It says A.
Jesus came into my heart.
changed everything. It's like my brother said, with a lot of people, and I was thinking of someone particular, and won't say nothing, but a lot of people, something happens. They can straighten up, and they can, sometimes they can even look like to be living a better Christian life than Christian.
Yep.
I mean, they can walk a line, and it's just, you just think, well, if anybody's going, it's going to be this person. But it's like you said, when you measure them up to that revelation, when you bring that word, something just don't marry there. Something just don't come together and click. And I thank God that as many times as I fail him, that I know. And he's talking about the Free Moral Agency and how it's directed by that seed. You know, as a man, I don't know how I want to say this respectfully, the right way. But I can just, you know, I'm married. Been married for over 20 years, 21 years, September. 21 years. But I've had women multiple times offer themselves. And I have a choice. I could have done whatever I wanted. You know, try just speaking naturally. Don't mean to be wrong here. But there's something... that's a free will choice. I can just do it. I can do it. And if I do it the right way, I have a right to do it. If I do it the right way, speaking. But something brings me back to her every night. Something on the inside. I have the free will to make a choice and do an action and make a decision. But what's driving my free will and my choice and my desire is her in my heart. And that's the way God is in with you. You do have a choice, and you can do this, but something's in there directing you.
Amen.
And it brings you back to him every time. And he was talking about he didn't choose this one and not choose. He didn't go duck, duck, goose, you know, little game, duck, duck, goose, and then you walked around, and, you know, if you picked your best friend, and y'all were going to be the ones chasing around, or you picked a girl if you liked her, and she was going to be the one chasing around. That's not the way God made a decision. He knew who would and what, because he knew where his seed was.
That's right.
And that seed directed you right back to him. There was no way that was ever going to fail. And so let's pray. And I really enjoyed the service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that, Lord, you planted that seed like the brother talked about tonight, Lord, before the foundation of the world, Lord. And you knew who would and who wouldn't, Lord. And as the brother said, you're a sovereign God and you're a just God, Lord. And you're not out here playing games with the world or playing games with veils of flesh, Lord, but you put us here for a purpose, Lord, for a manifestation, Lord, for a life, Lord, that it moves us and it draws us right back to you, Lord, no matter what Satan does. And sometimes he jumps on the flesh and he may seem to hinder that way. And, you know, the prophet talked about Jonah, and a lot of people say, well, he got out of the wheel. No, he was right where you wanted him to be the whole time. There's no running from you, Lord. There's no hiding in a closet. There's no hiding in the bottom of a ship. And you see all things and you know all things, and all things work just like you've seen it, Lord. We appreciate that, Lord. Help us to ever recognize your presence, Lord. And as you move us and you speak to us, Lord, that we hear your voice, and Lord, that we can die to ourselves and die to the world, Lord, and just yield ourselves to be a vessel, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. We appreciate the message tonight, Lord. Help us to listen to it, Lord, and not let it just stay here tonight in the few minutes that we've been here, Lord, but and then leave it there, Lord, and think, well, that's a good message, and maybe look forward to Sunday. But Lord, help us to go back and listen. And we didn't catch it all in this couple of minutes we've been here together, Lord. Let us listen to it, Lord, and become one with it, Lord. A relationship's not built on just a few minutes. It's a life. It's a union.
Yes.
It's a marriage, Lord. We appreciate that, Lord. We lift up our brother Gumbath, Lord, as he's no doubt waking up, or maybe not waking up, but getting ready to start the day, Lord, and go forth, Lord. May you go before him. We know your angels are encamped about him, Lord, and we know as the world is in turmoil and everywhere, not just one specific place, it's everywhere. But Lord, may your hedge of protection go with him, Lord, and give him words to speak, Lord, and many souls to your kingdom, Lord. So go from this place, Lord. We ask that you be with us. Grant the needs on each heart, Lord, as you see fit, as your mercy abounds, Lord. We love you and we appreciate you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.